2 Corinthians 5:14, and we'll begin reading down through verse 17. Our key verse, at least our place will start, keep your Bibles handy, we'll be moving around a lot in them this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 will be our runway verse. That's where we'll take off from. For the love of Christ constraineth us, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all. Why? That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So here comes the question. If you're saved, are you living for yourself, or are you living for the one who died for you? That's what the question, that's what the scripture, it begs answering. It presents us with that question. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Then verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a, and by the way, here's the key word for this morning, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, as we're going to we're going to serve some meat this morning. This is going to be probably more like a Wednesday night, maybe a Sunday night message. But Lord, we've got a Sunday morning crowd that needs this, dear God. This is it. This is the closeout Sunday of a year. And yet, Lord, if you tarry your return, we have unfolding for us this week a brand new year full of brand new opportunities. And dear Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to be all we can be for you, that we would choose in 2016 to not live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for us and rose again. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Verse number 17 is, for me as a preacher, and even me in my personal life, for a lot of years was a struggle. I would hear preachers quote this. I would read it in my devotions. I would even preach on it. And yet sometimes I'd be frustrated by it. Because the Bible says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. First of all, I had to look at my own life and I said, well, I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And yet I cannot say that all things have become new. I'm in some areas not what I need to be. I'm not all that I should be. Sometimes there's too much of the old man still. And so I would struggle with that. And then in discipling people and working with people and seeing people saved, and I see somebody get saved, and I'm thinking, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things become new. And yet it seemed like that as I saw people saved, I didn't see that transformation that I felt like this verse promised. I did not see the new creature maybe as quickly as I wanted to. I didn't see old things passing away. I began to question this verse. And I was reading in another portion of Scripture, and boy, I'm going to tell you what, all of a sudden the Lord turned the light on. And I want to teach you something, show you something. Because folks, listen to me. I don't know why y'all come to church, but I hope that it's for this reason, because you want to be better for the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, we all grow in grace. This is all a journey. It's all a process. Nobody becomes everything they ought to be, and it certainly doesn't happen overnight. But we ought to have in our hearts a desire to be better for the Lord, especially here at this brand new year. Now, I want you to save your place right there, but go back, if you will, forward, if you will, to Colossians, just a few books ahead, Colossians chapter number 1. And I want to read you the portion of Scripture that shed good light on this and gave me some clarity and some understanding as far as what this verse is talking about and what it means and how a true transformation can begin to take place in the life of a born-again Christian. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 25, Colossians 1 and verse number 25, we read this, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles. What is this great mystery? It's salvation. Here it is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, folks, this little phrase here in this portion of Scripture is talking about salvation, this great mystery that was being unfolded at this time, and this dispensation was being unfolded. And it was summarized in this statement, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. Folks, when you get saved, you have Christ in you. And so because of that, because we know this, if we're not careful, we flip back, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, and we read it quickly, and we think this is a salvation verse. But I want you to notice the difference. For those of you that are paying attention, mentally engaged, you're going to see it. Here it is. Therefore, if any man be what? Now, wait a minute. Salvation is Christ in you. But this verse is saying, therefore, if any man be in Christ. So there's a difference between Christ being in you and you being in Christ. Stay with me. Say, preacher, come on, is this supported elsewhere? Let's go to John chapter number 15. I told you we're going to do a little Bible study. Amen. This is good. Brother Daniel, don't ever start a message by saying, well, I hope y'all don't mind if we read some scripture. Who cares if they mind? I think that's why we're here, brother. Don't ever apologize for using the Bible. I'm just going to use a few verses because I only want you to hear God's word a little and me a lot, all right? So here we go, all right? John chapter 15 always amazes me. We'd probably be best served stand up here some Sundays and just read the book, you know. Amen. John chapter 15, notice this. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now we're talking about fruitfulness. We're talking about maturity. We're talking about growing in grace. We're talking about actually beginning to produce something for the Lord. How does that happen? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What's it say? Look at these next phrase, verse 4. Abide in me, wait, and... Oh, wait a minute. So this relationship's a two-way street. All right? I mean, Christ in you, that's salvation. You in Christ, that's a decision you've got to make as a born-again Christian. And by the way, until you make that decision, then you won't see the results of 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, let's keep reading, okay? Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abideth in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And I was looking, Brother Derek, at this 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, verse as a salvation verse, and said, man, if somebody gets saved, they're a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. And the honest truth is, right after you get saved and you go in Christ, Christ comes into you, that's the beginning of a process. But folks, there has to be a decision in your own heart beyond the decision to receive a free gift. Amen. See, salvation, folks, is us receiving from God. Dedication is us giving ourselves to God. Now stay with me here. Watch this. If you are saved, you have Christ in you. This gives you the opportunity to become a new creature. This transformation begins to take place when you decide to be in Christ. Christ in you gives you salvation. You in Christ produces transformation. What are you saying, preacher? Watch this. I'm saying at the beginning of 2016, it's time to get in. Amen. It's time to get in. Amen. It's time to let all things become new. What better time for this to happen than the beginning of a new year? Hey, come on, it's decision time. It's time to decide that everything I do will be filtered through the purity and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God save me. Watch this. God save, preacher, God save me. Well, I think it's time you let him change you. I mean, Christ came in you, but have you decided to abide in him? And that's what we're talking about here. And I'm going to give you very simply, folks, seven decisions. And by the way, you'll find this all through the Bible. I love doing word studies in the Bible. You know what it does? It convinces you, if you'll do it, it convinces you that this book is inspired and it is preserved. Just get you a King James Holy Bible and read it, amen? Don't change any of the words, because then you change the word studies. So leave it alone. Seven decisions that will make you into a new creature in Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, you made a decision to receive Jesus Christ, your Savior, and Christ came in you, but you have to make some decisions to abide in Christ in key areas of your life. And then you'll begin to see things start happening. Things start becoming new in your life. Put your seatbelt on. Here we go. All right. Number one, decide to sing a new song. Decide to sing a new song. Go to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. Go back to the book of Psalms. I'm going to have you turn to some verses. All right. I read a lot of the scripture to you. I've kind of spoiled you, to be honest with you. But I'm going to have you look at these things this morning. Decide to sing a new song. Now, I'm going to hit this first point. I'm going to spend a little time on it. The rest of them, I promise you, will go faster. The reason I tell you that is if I take 10 minutes on the first point, and then you say there's 7 points, and you're doing the math, you think we're being here for 70 minutes, and that would be horrible. I mean, again, goodness sakes. I mean, you'll sit in front of your TV and watch a two-hour Hollywood movie. Won't even go to the bathroom, but man, don't let the preacher preach over an hour. Do you want God to change you? Amen. Do you want God to change you? Take your time, brother. Take your time. Amen. Just, all right. Psalms 40, verse 1. Well, notice what it says here. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. Then what happens? He had put we're talking about a new you for a new year. A new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Even praise unto our God. So the song is described. This new song brings praise unto God. That's the song Christians are supposed to be singing. That's the songs Christians are supposed to be listening to. That's the music that comes into your life when you decide that it's not, listen, I've got Christ in me. Now it's time to get into him. Okay? Say, is this supported other places? Okay, I'll read these to you. Psalms 33:3, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. And Psalms 96:1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalms 98:1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. Psalms 144:9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Isaiah 42:10, sing unto the Lord a new song in his praise from the end of the earth. Now listen to me, folks. What's the process of Christian growth? Okay, you got saved. You have Christ in you. Now, are you going to abide in him? You know what? Are you going to let him change you into a new creature? The very first thing I'm going to challenge you to do going into the new year is listen, if you want to be a new creature, you got to have new music. Amen. You got to have new music. I cannot help you grow in grace until you make this step. This will be a millstone around your neck. This will be something that dampens your Christian growth. Oh, I can't believe the Christian people that are claim to be saved and the music that they listen to. Preacher, there's nothing wrong with my music. Don't tell me you're going to go after my music. I'm always entertained when somebody decides it's my music. You know, young people, oh, you're just old. You just don't like my music. First of all, it's not your music. Okay, you didn't write it, you didn't perform it, you didn't sing it. You're just the idiot that buys it so you can make multimillionaires out of pagan heathens. All right, so I do this every once in a while, so I thought, why not end the year doing it, all right? I mean, in this area, man, country western music's the thing, isn't it? I mean, come on, you're not going to preach against that. And I want you to listen to me because, see, I've got something on my computer called Google. I think it just came out a few weeks ago. Maybe I just learned to use it a couple weeks ago. I don't know. But, you know, listen, you can sit there and lie to yourself, but we are in the information generation. And no, you're not going to preach against my music. Nothing wrong with rock and roll music. You can be a Christian and listen to rock and roll music. Okay, so I just Googled this. Top 10 country western songs of 2015. So here's the songs, the top five. And I don't know any of these songs as far as I've never heard any of them. Here's number five. Eric Church, Like a Wrecking Ball. Now be careful that you don't get too excited because people are going to know you're listening to this stuff, okay? All right, this is your country western music, all right? It's got the D-A-M-N worded in it 3 different times. So he curses through it. The entire song is about sex and sexting. It's about intimacy. Listen. Can I just help you young people something? Because it's about things that should never be discussed. It's about private things.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad if you're married and you have an intimate relationship, and you should, that's what the Bible says and all of that, but I don't really care to have you write a song about it. Hey, let me just introduce you to a new word, decency. There's some things that just shouldn't be talked about in Christian conversation. I'm shocked at what people just sit around and talk about, let alone sing about. So that's the song. There you go. All right. By the way, mamas, if you're sneaking around listening to this, that's why your daughter probably is. Then the number four song is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Sangria. Sangria. Is that right, Brother Walton? By the way, I didn't read any of the words of the first one. I won't read any of the words of the second one. I can't read any of the words of any of these. You know why? Because I'm going to read filth from the pulpit. Filth from the pulpit. This is about a guy that meets a woman at a bar and takes her to a motel and commits immorality. It's number four, most popular country western song. Then there's House Party by Sam Hunt. This is basically an entire one about immorality and sex. Now, you just listen to me a minute. Listen to me. You're going to spend all week long listening to this, and you're going to live on the victory side. This gets you in Christ.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, how in the world can, you know, a 70-minute message, because that's where we're going this morning, 70-minute, how can a 70-minute message combat 40 hours of brainwashing by you listening to this junk?
Right.
Hey, there's nothing wrong. It doesn't affect me. Really? How's your morals? What websites have you been on? Listen to me. We've got young men and young women trading wives and husbands like baseball cards. And every one of them that got involved in that kind of lifestyle, that nonsense, first started by making excuses about the kind of music that they're listening to and how it don't hurt them.
Right.
I had a young man sit in my office one day, look me right in the eyeball, and say, "Preacher, I listen to the wrong kind of music and it has no bad effect on me whatsoever." You're wrong about that. I watched over the next 2 or 3 years of his life as he lost his purity before marriage, as he entered into multiple relationships, as his life crashed and burned. You can lie to yourself, but you're not going to lie to me. You don't listen to this stuff all the time and it does not have an effect in your life.
Amen.
Say, "Preacher, surely it gets better. How about Kick the Dust Up by somebody, Luke Bryan. And it's number two, country western song. You know, it's about farming, preacher. Yeah, all week long it's farming. It's a farming town. They're making the money grow. Tractors, plows with flashing lights, backing up to a two-lane road, then take one lap around. The sun up goes, a high goes down, and that's the last I can read of it. Because after they're done farming, they go out into a cornfield and party and get drunk and commit immorality. I say, "Preacher, I don't understand. Why is it that people can just feel like they can live together out of wedlock? Why is it that this young generation don't think it's a sin to have sex before marriage?" See, watch this. When you get saved, what you're supposed to do is say, "I ain't listening to this. I'm going to get a new song. Listen, by the way, right after church, you can go back there in the foyer area. And listen, I'm not trying to sell music. Listen, I'm a master at losing money in this ministry. We either give stuff away or sell it cheaper than we buy it. But you can go back there and you can get Christian music. You can get good music. You can put it into your home and you can begin to change your thinking and you can stop walking around with Christ in you and you in the world and you can be Christ in you and you in Christ." Oh, preacher, surely number one's, by the way, I'm sickened. I mean, I didn't even know. I didn't know till last night when I Googled this stuff. And I could do this. You know what? I did it about 2 years ago. I can just randomly pick any time and Google it. And you know what rises to the top? Not the cream. Cream don't rise to the top. The garbage rises to the top. Because it's feeding the appetite of a wicked world. This last song is called Girl Crush. It's by a group called Little Big Town. There's no way I could read any of the words of this. But let me tell you what it is. It's a woman who's singing it that wants to have a lesbian affair with another woman who is dating the guy she loves. And don't you come to me and defend your country western music. I'm fighting tooth and nail around here to keep these young people away from that junk. And there's a reason, church, let me educate you a little bit. There's a reason you ought not let that country western music flavor of Christian music into your home or let your children play it. Because you're creating an appetite for a music that's going to transition them over into listening to this kind of stuff. Now listen, we can sit here and play this church thing all we want to, and if you want to, you know, preacher, I don't like this kind of preaching. Well, see me after church. I can give you a list of a number of churches around here where you can go and sit and never be offended and never told the truth, and you can walk in there and you never get helped and you never have to be challenged to be anything other than you are. But listen, we're kind of serious about what we're doing around here. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. And listen, it's time for us to look into a new year and say, it's time for a new me. It's time to get in Christ so that I can be a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to do it until you change your music. You're not going to do it. By the way, some of you young people say, I don't listen to that country western stuff. I think it's dumb. I know, but I could Google the top 10 pop artists, and you know what? I'm talking about the songs that some of you listen to. I'm talking about Miss Swift and all the other ooh girls, you know, and every single one of them. And you know what? If you would read the words to those songs, it's the same wicked theme again. All right, amen. It's like saying that. Go to John chapter 13. So number one, we got to decide to have a new song. Wow. I mean, that's music. That's music. John chapter number 13, verse number 34. Number one, decide to sing a new song. Number two, decide to obey a new commandment. Decide to obey a new commandment. Now we're going to get the train rolling here, folks. I just wanted to throw a little bit of a fit for a while there, and I feel better now, amen. Well, I hope you'll take it serious. John 13, verse 34, a new commandment. A new year, a new you. Then you got to obey a new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. 2 John 1:5 says this, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. I'm going to hit this in real quick and go on. But folks, listen to me. There's some decisions you have to make. Say, preacher, Bible says that there's a new commandment. Jesus said to the disciples, there's a new commandment I'm going to give you. You love one another. You know what we need? We need Christians to decide in 2016 that we're going to love one another. By the way, what I just did for the last 10 minutes was an act of love. If you love people, you tell them the truth. Amen. We need a revival across America in our independent fundamental Baptist churches, a revival of kindness and a revival of love. Say, preacher, we're going into a new year. Okay, watch this. No grudges ought to be carried into 2016. No jealousy ought to be carried into 2016. No revenge ought to be plotted in 2016. No evil speaking of one another in 2016. Feuds ought to be called off. Gossip ought to stop. Hatred ought to be purged. Backstabbing ought to cease. Bullying needs to end. Criticism ought to be banned. Listen, what am I saying? I'm saying good night, church. We're commanded by Jesus to love one another. So Christ came in me and I was saved. Now I've got to decide whether I'm going to live in Him. And you know what? If I do, I'm going to have a new song and I'm going to obey a new commandment. And by the way, let me just say this. Now all the things I just said there that I wish would happen across the country needs to start right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Church, listen to me. Everyone needs to be rooting for each other. Everyone needs to be encouraging each other. Everyone needs to be praying for each other. Hey, here's a crazy idea. Let's decide to obey the command of the one we call Savior and the one we call Lord and just decide to love one another. I know I'm hitting these fast, but if you write this list down and you start doing them, you'll begin to become a new creature in Jesus Christ. Here's kind of a weird one. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We were in 2 Corinthians 5. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So how do you become a new creature? You decide that you're going to start singing a new song. You decide to obey a new commandment. Number three, you decide to become a new lump. A new lump. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. I know, you say, preacher, I just came through the holidays. I've already started on that. But become a new lump. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven that ye may be a what? New lump. As ye are unleavened. You thought I was kidding. You didn't think that was in the Bible. There it is. For even Christ our Savior, Passover, is sacrificed for us. How do you become a new person, a new creature? You purge out the old leaven. I was doing a little word study on this, and I found this verse, and it has nothing to do with it, but it was so funny that I stuck it underneath this point. Let me read it, and then we'll go on. Job said in Job 32:19, behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. And I thought, you know what? That'd be a good holiday verse for all of us. Amen. How do you decide to become a new lump? You purge out the old leaven. Preacher, we're going into a brand new year. How do you become a new creature? First of all, you got to get the leaven out of your life. What's leaven mean? Leaven, folks, is corruption. Leaven in the Bible represents sin. And you know what you have to, listen, every dad, I'm challenging you to lead your home in this. Every wife, I'm challenging you to support your husband in this. Every child, I'm asking you to do this, take responsibility in your own life, in your own room. But you know what? Every once in a while, I talk about having an old-fashioned brown bag revival. You know what? What has crept into your house in 2015 that has no business being there? And you know what? Sometimes I have found things in my home and thought to myself later, how did I let that get in here? You know, Jesus, and the last thing that he did in the upper room before they walked to Gethsemane was he got down on the floor and he washed the feet of his disciples. And Peter said, oh, no, you got to wash all of me. And Jesus said, no, no. You know what? If you've already been washed, you only have to have your feet washed. Now, what was he teaching there? He was teaching this. If you just walk through this world, even if you're a good Christian with good intentions, you just walk through this world, you know what? You're going to get some dirt on your feet. And I'm just saying, folks, the best of the best of the best of us that are trying to live right, you know what? The devil still manages to creep things into our house and into our lives that have no business being there. What app do you have that you shouldn't have? What technology, part of technology are you using that you have no business using? Parents, I'm going to blow the trumpet on this again. There's some of the stuff. I mean, we got stuff. What was that, Snapchat? Is that what you're telling me about? Folks, there are. If you're on Snapchat, there's no reason to be on Snapchat unless you're trying to hide something. See, I don't know what that is. Ask your kids. Some of them know. Well, you got an app specifically designed to hide everything, pictures and things that you send so nobody can find evidence of it. Why would you need that if you weren't involved in something that's wicked? Why would you need it? No, I'm asking you. Why? So purge it. It's leaven in your life. Instagram's leaven in your life. For a lot of you, Facebook is leaven in your life. It is. You know what? TV, for some of you, are leaven in your life. You can't handle this stuff, purge it out. Come on. Most of you think you're handling it. You're not handling it. Preacher, where did I end up today? You ended up in a church that's still willing to preach the Bible and tell you the truth. Good night, folks, listen to me. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, and Christians are carrying the handbasket. What I'm saying is, listen, hey, you want to just play at this? I mean, hey, just pop in every once in a while on a Sunday morning and sit here and smile and get, you know, or do you want to get serious about it? Because you know what? You can be saved to have Christ in you and never be a new creature because you won't get yourself into Christ. And you do that by deciding to become a new creature. And that means making real decisions, brother, and following through with them. And some of that is just decide to become a new lump. So you know what? Whatever's crept into your life, whatever sin has snuck into it, whatever attitudes have snuck into it, listen, go get you a brown paper bag. Do they still have those? Brown paper bag. Get you a plastic white Walmart bag and go through and tear some posters off the wall and throw some music away and get some DVDs out of your home. And by the way, get the remote on the TV and block some things and get some stuff canceled off your computer. Listen, we are not going to be in Christ until we're willing to purge out some leaven in our lives.